Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Temperature check. Temperature check, Curtis. How do we feel?
What? Oof. Adios.
Did you turn the game off? Just be honest.
Are we going to? Yeah. What? Definitely. Are we going to begin the show with an adios instead of an hola?
I'd prefer hola, but last night was adios.
Is that Friday
with an adios?
Is that the Fleming home run call for him, or is it just that was the?
That's one of his signature home run calls. Yeah, it's usually with the Spanish guys. But
right. Anyway, adios.
Maybe Durant speaks Spanish. I don't know. Whatever it was yeah. one of the swings of the summer. Got it in just in before the deadline.
Yeah. Durant doesn't strike me as a big thinker.
Wow, jeez. Guy that you'd be pumped today.
I am.
Magic
I'm
number
BC
seven.
BC can't lose. It's going to be a big day.
BC can't lose this weekend.
This has been... I saw someone tweet this. I don't know where it was from, so it wasn't my idea. But, it was an EEI story. Are the Red Sox quiet quitting?
No.
Did you see that?
No.
I don't know who wrote it.
Is it Omega?
Well, if I say it was, you'll like it.
I like all our staff?
Certainly do. Some more than others. But watching that team, there hasn't been this groundswell of fear and rage yet. It hasn't overcome the region. And I will say, in 2011, it hadn't either. The crescendo, like you, when you watch the Shaughnessy had in his column yesterday about, you know, the similarities. Shaughnessy can only write like 200 words about what's going on now. The other 1,000 are always about something happening 15 years ago.
15 years ago on this date.
Still
the best columnist in town.
He is by far.
The only columnist in town.
That's true. That night was surreal. I think we were in here overnight. We just came in and did a show. Yeah, we did. Because DA was on live. And then they had that. We stayed on until like
when
almost
is this
touched
again? Rich.
This was 2011.
2011.
Red Sox, blue, chicken and beer, yeah. All that. They're up in this seventh inning in Baltimore against a 60-win Orioles team. They just need to win the game and they're in the playoffs. And they were up a run with a rain delay in the bottom of the seventh and they blow the game. Carl Crawford, misthrow, all that. And that led to the crescendo and was really that was sort of the Guerrero-Brady versus Lucchino ownership thing with the Red Sox in 2011. That was basically Theo was gone, Francona was gone. That era of 7 years with 2 titles and all that success ended in Baltimore at Camden Yards. I don't know what would happen here if they had the same fate where they blow a big lead down the stretch.
I had some dark thoughts last night before 9:30. Let me tell you that. I was thinking about, you know what I was thinking about? How ugly the final homestand would be against Detroit if they don't win another game on this road trip. Because it looked like they weren't.
Yeah, you go quick to deep, like you go to the dark side.
I told you last week I didn't feel good. I still don't feel very good. But they are in the second wild card spot. They are tied with Houston. There is a jumble of epic proportions going on.
And I'm also concerned, like for me, if they miss the playoffs, I do think Cora, the conversation goes if he should return. But this is where Crochet, I said this at the trade deadline. This is not revisionist history. This is just revisiting something I said at the time. That with Crochet having never gone where he needed to go this season in terms of workload, we wouldn't know the full impact of not adding another starter until the stretch run. Here we are, and guess what? Baby Pedro's playing like Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite.
he's been okay. He's been fine.
Yep. When was Pedro Martinez fine?
He's baby Pedro. He's not Pedro.
You said better than Pedro like two weeks ago.
He's got better stuff than Pedro. That's what Pedro Martinez himself said.
Right. Oh, my God. And Tom Brady said Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback of all time. Do you think he feels that way?
He's just got to harness it.
So we will not feel the full weight of this debacle until it actually happens, but I just the deadline looms over this organization and the inability to bring in a starter that would have, if they had a starter right now, if they got Joe Ryan, I know he hasn't had a great second half, work with me. Mm-hmm. If they got a starter that was able to give them a solid 6 to 7 innings every 5 days, they would be the favorite to win the American League. The American League
with this
sucks.
Offense right now, I don't know. Right now, they're just, I mean, they'll
they
get
put
a
up 11 back. Runs last night. By the way, the ball was flying. I thought that the Ray who hit the solo home run in the second it was, or third, where he flipped the bat, I was like, what is he doing? That's going to be a fly out. And it went sailing out to right
was
field.
Was it the Yandy Diaz homer?
Yeah.
Oh, he is good. But, no, I mean, they took advantage of some young Rays pitchers that came in. Now, Duran hit it off a lefty, which was great, but the guy Wilcox who was in was making his big league debut, I think. So this offense is not good, Curtis. Their lineup is not good.
Who's got a great offense in the American League other than the Yankees?
I like Seattle. They got the big dumper. And they had a bunch of trade deadline acquisitions back to your trade stuff that, you know, as we've discussed. But
it
they
just
lost
sucks that this organization doesn't go all in. And I understand
yes,
it. I understand what they're... I don't need anybody to explain to me what John Henry is thinking. As someone who has followed them, the departure and then the later passing of Larry Lucchino really ended the era, because Lucchino was the guy, as John Henry said in the studio that we're looking at, that Larry Lucchino runs the Red Sox. He was someone who was so competitive, so dead set on being this sort of force of action to constantly be in the news, be pushing the envelope. When he left and Sam replaced him, John Henry took over, and he just wants an easy investment.
So you think John runs it now? He's active?
John, I'm sure, was not wanting to spend what Larry was spending, but Larry had a voice and was an equal almost to John Henry in that he had, look at all the things Lucchino did, whether it's bringing in Janet Marie Smith and redoing Fenway Park, all the investments that Lucchino helped spearhead were successful for the organization and for John Henry's bank account. They bought the team for $400 million. By the time Lucchino left, it was worth $4 billion.
Well, they do have currently a significant chance of making the postseason, 88% for the Fangraphs odds. If they lose last night, it's 50-50, I'm guessing, maybe like 55-45. We want to get the mayor of Cleveland on, our famous caller from out there. The Guardians win again. They have won, unbelievably, 8 straight, 13 out of 14. And their offense is putrid. I mean,
the run differential is crazy, too. They were 12 games over 500, and they have a negative, like, 40 run differential in the season.
They have Jose Ramirez and you. Like, they have nobody.
I had one summer, Tondorf baseball tournament, hit two bombs.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, you juicing?
I was. Well, if juicing means chicken, yeah.
So how would you characterize it? I would like some calls on what's the best description of the current state of the Red Sox at 617-779-7937. Are they in the hunt?
No, they're in a bridge year.
A bridge year?
Yep.
Are they not dead yet? Is that a good phrase? Are they coming off a wake-up call last night? I kind of like that one, a little Duran wake-up call.
My question is, where's all the tweets about the chemistry lately? Because all I was told was that ever since Devers left, they all love each other.
Well, they looked happy after the Duran homer.
Right, but did they look happy when they were one comeback in the eighth inning away from getting swept by the listless A's at Fenway Park?
No, I mean, I don't think they're coming apart at the seams, but I think they're all nervous. You were seeing those, like, 1,000-yard stares from Bregman in the dugout, and he and Story were kind of huddled together like, boy, what's going on here? This does not feel good.
If they don't come back yesterday, the story is Crochet.
Yeah, he was not great. He was not horrible. He did have 10 strikeouts.
If you're the ace of the team, I don't care about 10 strikeouts.
9 strikeouts. 19 swings and misses. Like, he's given up homers lately, which is weird. So he's attacking guys but giving up bombs.
But like, he even, what was it against the Yankees where he gave up a couple solo home runs and he got defensive when he was asked about it?
Yeah.
Like, well, you're the ace of the team. You shouldn't be giving up home runs.
Yeah, he's like, and he might win the Cy Young. I don't know. He and Scooble are neck and neck. But he's an ace that's just slightly away from being totally dominant. Like, he's great. I enjoy him every time he's out there. but he definitely doesn't give an F, and he will attack guys and not care about giving up homers.
But the thing that fascinates me is that I don't know how to describe it. The current state of Alex Cora as it pertains to the media and the fans, where if you go on social media after the middle game of the A's series, where you're texting me saying
brilliant
master stroke deft management selections,
yep,
from the bullpen.
Was like Wiggy at Brockton at his peak.
And then the next,
pulling all the right strings.
But there's, so it's the same, you know, honks, podcast honks on social media talking about how, where are all the Cora haters now? And then they lose and it's everybody else's fault. I mean this sincerely. I have never seen someone like Cora, who doesn't exactly have a pristine reputation, who gets given this godlike treatment.
Yeah, but you are critical of him when it's warranted.
Yeah,
Jones is all over him. I mean,
not what I'm talking about. I didn't say radio people. I'm talking about the online conversation. Red Sox Twitter.
The Reddit forum?
Right. I found out there were all these like Reddit forums about me from Wild Time.
Oh,
that is an interesting place.
Oh, boy. we'll go stay out of there.
Woof. There is a lot of hate in this world. I'm so sorry. But it's just crazy. People are insane. But I digress.
But you're saying Cora is beloved on the chats.
It's just unlike any experience I've ever had as a follower of a team in this town, where if they win, it's because of him. And if they lose, it's everybody else's fault. And then you have Breslow saying he's 80 pitches. So it's like, for me, if I'm Alex Cora, and I'm making $7 million a year, which is at least three times what Craig Breslow is making. You would agree.
I have no way of knowing
that. He was the 11th
choice. First contract. I'm sure he's lower than that, yeah.
Right. So you make three times more. The fan base is behind you far more. So if Connor Early's pitching well with 80 pitches.
Conley Early.
I call him Connor.
Todd is his real first name.
TCE.
Uh-huh.
TCBY.
Yeah.
Did you like that? TCBY?
Back in the day at the mall, I would get some TCBY.
Courtney thinks it stands for the country's worst yogurt.
It's not the best.
Are
they a sponsor? Check that
out. It's garbage. one of the most damaging sentences in the history of radio.
Oh, God.
So, I don't understand why Cora is in this sort of untouchable ground.
Well, I don't know how you can't understand that this year. He has plenty of excuses. The lineup stinks. They have had significant injuries, and the offensive group that he trots out there most nights, last night aside, is not good. It's not quality. It's beyond his. You just ripped the trade deadline. That's how you started this. Cora would have loved to have added Joe Ryan or great bat that Seattle added down the stretch. They didn't. I'm sure he was pushing for that, but he got no help. So he's got every excuse this year. Now, if you want to blame him for the 4 years since 2021, I get it.
But everything you said is accurate, Ken. If what we're discussing, if the last 3 years, they just weren't good enough and they were the same over the course of the entire season, I would say, okay. But this is now 4 years in a row of the swoon. If they do make, so we're stipulating that if they make the playoffs, obviously
it's
a non-starter. But if they miss the playoffs, then it's four consecutive years of the exact same thing.
Yeah. I am in the sucker category, I guess, where they gave me more enjoyment this year than I expected. They were fun to watch again. And even if it ends poorly, like Game of Thrones, I'm okay with the whole series. It was good enough that I'd run it back. But I don't blame you for if they miss the playoffs. It's going to be tragic. It will be tough in the moment.
So
Cora will get some blame.
So who do you think gets the most blame if they miss?
I think it goes back to the trade deadline. I mean, if you really sincerely think about it, what did Breslow do? He effed it up. I mean, you're right. They could be in a much better situation now. They could be a contender for a World Series run if and only if they had added a couple of key pieces. They didn't. Even the guys he did add were horrible. I mean, the Hicks addition, we'll see Harrison. He's going to make his first start today. So, it's going to come down to his trade deadline guy today.
But if you ask John Henry today, my guess is that Breslow's far safer than Cora.
Yeah, I think they're both safe.
But I mean, yes. Think about if you're John Henry, what that Devers trade did for your bottom line, and you didn't suffer because of it.
Yeah. Nice of Devers to let Kershaw strike him out last night at the exit at Dodger Stadium.
Clayton Kershaw, very odd career.
Odd career. Also, what do you think about the announcing of the
Such
retirement?
A douche move.
Yeah. It was a kind of a nice moment, but it's
peculiar.
Oh, yeah.
People in L.A. were really clamoring for it.
If it was Brady, I would have ripped him. 617-779-7937. All right, a lot of socks to dig into here. Tom's got some post-game audio in his trending. Tom Crisafulli, young Tom, college Tom, now graduated Tom, will be here. We're here until noon again today, Curtis. Back to a three-hour show here this month. And much to discuss, including your man Brady, the Patriots and Steelers tomorrow. All ahead here on EEI.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox bats came alive in the eighth inning for a seven-run inning that propelled the Sox to an 11-7 victory over the Rays last night. Crochet went six full, allowing three earned runs while striking out nine batters. Here's what Alex Cora had to say about Crochet after the game.
He battled through it, you know, gave a six, you know, and, you know, they hit two fly balls to right field, went out of ballpark. Obviously, Yandy, you know, he's a real good hitter, but then he kind of like settled down and gave us what we needed.
With the Sox winning, the Astros losing last night, the Sox are now tied for the second wild card spot. The Sox also keep their 1.5-game lead over the Guardians for an AL wild card spot. Cleveland also won last night to keep the pressure on the Red Sox to win today. Cleveland is 9-1 in their last 10 games. The Sox are back in action today for another must-win game against Tampa. Coverage starts on WEEI at 6:05 with the Mass Mutual pregame show with our guy Joe Weil. And as always, you can listen to the game right here on WEEI, the Shaw's Install Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kyle Harrison is on the mound for your Boston Red Sox, 7:05, first pitch. And the Patriots are set for their Week 3 matchup tomorrow against Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. But today, both Julian Edelman and Bill Parcells will be putting on their red jackets and getting inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame at 4 o'clock this afternoon. I'm Tom Crisafulli, and that's your trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's getting good, Curtis. You got to admit that. Starting to get those juices again. Football feeling in the air. Last night, the agony, the ecstasy, the Duran dinger. I even was asking Scott McLaughlin, Bruins, how was Houston Dinoff doing at the first practice? You know, that once those questions start coming back up again, you know you're back. The sports world is back.
I couldn't tell you one thing about Houston Dinoff, but I'm sure he's going to be a big ad.
Well, he was here last year, but Fabian Lysell, he said, was the star of early camp, so look out for Fabian.
First time in a while winter teams are going to be...
You know what's scary? The Red Sox now have tiebreakers against all these teams, but the one they don't have the tiebreaker over is
Rangers.
Detroit.
Detroit.
And Detroit now is only 2.5 up on Cleveland. Do you think Cleveland is just going to win out? It would be an unbelievable finish to the season.
I mean...
They've got a doubleheader today.
Against who?
Minnesota.
Oof. Is Rocco Baldelli still their manager?
Who is the Twins manager? I think it is Rocco Baldelli.
Look at that poll.
But Steven Vogt's Guardians.
Rocco, yep, maybe Rocco is going to win one for his old town team.
Maybe. And then there's a huge series this week. Detroit plays Cleveland head-to-head. So that's going to be, that'll decide the division, I guess. But if Detroit sinks and all of a sudden you fall into a tiebreaker with them, that could be the one tiebreaker you lose and be on the outside looking in. Anyway.
So just one more start from Crochet this year.
Yeah. Or just get one more.
Wow. Yeah.
And they would probably, were hoping not to have to use that to tee them up for the first game of the
season. What day would be the place playoffs if everything stays the
Tuesday.
Same?
Tuesday.
So, but no, he could pitch Wednesday and be ready Tuesday.
But he wouldn't pitch this Wednesday, would he?
Oh, yeah. So put them on. I mean, if you put them on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it'd be four days rest.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it'll time out all right. Maybe you could use them. Could you get them in two more starts then?
What if you used everybody for one inning?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Full of openers. Who gets the blame if the Red Sox do collapse and miss the postseason? One of our questions here today. And Curtis is, you're pretty much saying it should be Cora. He should get more heat. He's not.
I just have never experienced this in my 41 years on this earth. By the way, if anybody knows how to solve a left Achilles strain, just been in agony.
You want Achilles calls?
Yeah.
Called Tatum.
It stands in the face of reason why you would sit back and give him credit, but no blame. It doesn't make any sense.
I just gave you plenty of reasons. I mean, you hated the trade deadline, yes?
Right.
You look at Seattle, and they've got Josh Naylor and Eugenio Suarez in the middle of their lineup winning games. So what if they were on your team instead of Nathaniel Lowe?
Right, but my question is, why does his team play well up until the games get bigger and bigger?
Why do Cora's teams collapse?
They had the same deadline.
Because they've had bad rosters.
What was their record in August?
Over 500.
Well over 500. Yeah. So
better than last year. Improvement.
But I guess I'm just speaking a different language right now.
You hate Cora, I guess.
I don't
You're
hate
skeptical.
Anything. The only thing I hate is evil in this world. Okay. It's the scourge.
Thank you. Let's go to
I stand with Jimmy.
Let's go to the phones, which are always positive. Brian in Portland, Maine. Hello, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. Ken and Curtis. I was just listening on the phone I had something I wanted to talk about the trade deadline and who to blame, Cora versus Breslow and that kind of thing. But Ken, was it you that just said something about tiebreakers? I think we don't have the tiebreaker with Seattle, do we? I think
we do. If we were to finish. No, the Red Sox have a better intra-division record, which is the second tiebreaker past 3-3. So I think they do.
Okay. So I can never keep that straight. Well, hey, I just wanted to, I know this is going to be probably a unique take, maybe. I think Cora and Breslow both are good at what they do, and I think only time will be able to prove that. And I'm kind of on the side. I believe in Cora. I think he's a really, really good, skilled in-game manager. I think he's proven that. And baseball just lends itself. It's a crazy, crazy game. So, you know, if it comes down to the wire, it just seems like my impression is, We're so quick to blame the manager if the ball bounces the wrong way. And if it doesn't, then he gets all the praise. I think he's a really good manager. And as far as Breslow goes, I guess my question would be, you've always heard them talk about how they're trying to sustain a winning team over a long length of time. And I just don't think that they're willing. And he's shown that to give a lot of farm talent up that we waited so long when Bloom was here to develop. And I don't know, I'm kind of excited. I guess one question I would ask is if you're on the side that thinks that Breslow didn't do enough at the trade deadline, who were we looking at getting? I remember Joe Ryan was one.
Yep. Merrill Kelly.
The guy from Arizona was one that everybody wanted. Yep. I guess who would we have been willing to give up? That would be my question. And then, two, can we look at, it's never too early to start prognosticating for next year. I'm as excited as anybody about being in the playoff push, and that's all the focus. But I can't wait for the hot stove season because just imagine what the starting rotation could be next year. I mean, I know you can never have too much pitching, but.
Brian, thank you very much. Now, hot stove show used to be a thing here on EEI. Do you want to be posting that, Curtis?
I would love to. I think it would be a real winner. Another offseason where we get excited about people they're not going to go after.
Schwarber?
It's just the roster is good enough to be really good entering September, but not good enough to play well in September.
Well,
are the Red Sox better than the A's as currently constituted?
Their lineup is not.
Okay. Were the Red Sox favored in all three of those games?
I would imagine they were.
Okay, so
the A's have been a solid team in the last, 3 months.
I'm not asking. I'm asking you, today, who's a better team?
Full roster, Red Sox.
Well, we're not playing a game with half a roster, Einstein.
They lost 2 of 3. It's not the end of the world. Right?
Who said it was the end of the world?
Okay, what you're saying.
Well, everybody's saying the roster's bad. They lost to a team with an inferior roster.
Slightly.
Right. So then why do we not blame the manager when they're losing to inferior teams?
Well, the manager won you a game in the middle of that series. Without good managing, you get swept.
Right.
So
at home, the Red Sox should get swept by the A's?
They have Yoshida batting cleanup right now? Ken, I mean, they have Eaton and Sogard.
I'm not asking. You're answering questions I have not yet posed. The Red Sox are a better team than the A's, yes or no?
That's close, but Red Sox.
I'm not asking for the proximity. I'm asking, are they a better team?
I like nuance. You're binary, like Aaron Rodgers.
That's personal info. I have no idea.
Said we need a win. I hate to be binary, but we need a win.
Okay, I'm cis.
Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. Hello, Matt.
Yeah, even back then, Ken was wearing his blue bandana at the food court, eating TCBY, giving the worst sports takes ever in Boston sports history. But we'll check Cleveland's lineup out. They have like three guys batting under 200.
Yep.
But Curtis, you mentioned Larry Lucchino, and I think besides the players, he's the most important part of this whole thing with the Red Sox. When he came over from San Diego, brought Theo, the battles that those guys had. He went and got David Ortiz when really no one wanted him. Can you imagine putting Larry Lucchino and Breslow in the same room with the trade deadline?
You know, I don't think
he'd be a great, on top.
Yeah, man, I don't think Larry would be a great thought partner for Breslow.
He might need that, though. You know, like, you need a calm guy and you need an excitable guy. So maybe that would be the end of his yang. Bring in, does Larry have any kids? He probably didn't have any kids, huh?
I don't know.
I know. Let's get the next Lucchino of baseball, whoever it is. Some fire starter, some hot thinker.
So the Red Sox missed the playoffs. You were going to say, yeah, they just should have done more at the deadline. That's all.
Yes, that's going to be basically my excuse. And injuries. I mean, it'll be company line through and through with me.
But, like,
I'll be upset. I mean, Cora blew a few games. She's not perfect. Who's your replacement? Catherine Veritek tweeted last night that it's Veritek's Jason's last year under contract. Like, she put this out there. Like, it's strange. I'm like,
what a loose cannon.
I mean, it's like, wow. And they were.
Are you sure it wasn't scam, Saranya?
I saw this around 9 o'clock when things were looking not good. So, you know, and all of a sudden she's chiming in on Jason's contract future. And I'm like, oh boy, this could really go south here. Thank God they won last night. That is a huge homer from Duran.
Big night.
Giant. Let's go to Rick and Gardner. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Chris Curtis, I love you. You're the best with baseball. But I want to give an alternate take of the contracts in baseball are so giant that hasn't the manager become more of an attitude people manager, and analytics kind of drives what the in-game decisions are. Like, you need a person that's going to manage people that are making gazillions of dollars for 30 years, and then all of a sudden you can't, what are you going to do, bench him or get rid of Devers? Like, what are you going to get? Like, you get trash back for Devers. Like, it's not good.
Rick, I would say who on this team's got a bloated contract? I mean, you're basically managing a bunch of guys that are making, you know, $5 to $10 million. There isn't a Manny. There isn't a. Got rid of the guy making 30.
Story, I guess, would be the case.
And Cora didn't even manage the guy properly. That was making $30 million. They had to trade him. But that's not on Cora. That's on Devers, right?
No. I blame Cora for that.
Saying that they don't have enough pop in their lineup. But Cora's the reason
they traded for Dustin May. I mean, you can't do better than Dustin May.
But if Cora did a better job of managing the ego of Devers, which was all his doing, going back to the offseason in the pursuit of Alex Bregman, then maybe they're not where they are right now. So why don't you blame Cora for that?
Well, Bregman hit a bomb yesterday.
Ken, I'm not talking about Bregman. I'm talking about Cora.
Well, they chose Bregman over Devers.
Fumbling the bag.
I like that choice.
Do you think Cora did an effective job in his pursuit being so public of Bregman while Devers was on the roster?
They could have handled it better.
No, not they. You and I.
He could have handled it better. You and I asked him at Winter Weekend.
You were saying how he must know.
Right.
Because it's such a public pursuit. It was the least clandestine pursuit of a baseball player since A-Rod and the Red Sox in
2003. Good question by me, wasn't it?
So why isn't
no credit
that?
Again?
Roster doesn't have pop because Alex Cora didn't properly manage the biggest ego on the team, correct?
No, they got poor return for him, which you agreed to when they traded him for nothing.
But then why did they trade him?
He was a problem.
Why? Oh, so but I thought Cora was brilliant at handling problems.
He didn't handle it great.
So the biggest contract, the biggest job, he failed.
He's handling crochet well.
So the biggest contract, he failed at the spot they need the most, correct?
Yes, not perfect. That's definitely a failure.
That's a pretty big failure.
But if your GM picks you up and gets a nice return for him, you're not in a bad situation.
If I'm Breslow, I'm saying, hey, I dealt with your problem. I got the abscess tooth of San Francisco, and I got you guys that helped you stay over 500.
Let's go to D.C., talk to our guy, Justin. Hello, Justin.
Hey, gentlemen. Curtis, can you help me understand why you're not blaming Breslow the most? And then I'd love to come back at you.
Thank you, Justin.
Breslow is doing the bidding of John Henry. He is a puppet. He was the 11th guy they interviewed. I don't believe that he has power.
Blame Henry.
I mean, my feelings on John Henry are well established. I think that this has become something that he wants to be an efficient moneymaker. He doesn't want to deal with big contracts. He wants to lead the organizations around Major League Baseball away from big spending like Cohen and the Mets, which is why he's on the Economic Reform Committee. And that is why they are not signing big free agent deals. And that's why the trade of Devers is what is giving Breslow the most power, that he was able to effectively move $300 million off the books and maintain success.
Well, okay, but so I agree that it's mostly John Henry, but there's this perverse narrative on EEI that I'm hearing that while Breslow sabotaged a team during the season by trading away a top 15 hitter for nothing, doing nothing at the trade deadline, that he had this miraculous offseason. I want to remind everybody, he spent a ton of money in this offseason, and he had three goals. One was to replace two high-leverage relievers he lost in the bullpen. Two was to replace Tyler O'Neill's production in the lineup. And three was to get at least two good starting pitchers. For the bullpen, they are third in baseball in blown saves behind the Diamondbacks and Angels because they only signed Chapman. Justin Wilson is a great fifth and sixth inning receiver, so he failed on the relievers. Alex Bregman is not putting up the numbers that Tyler O'Neill put up, and he took away the best hitter from this lineup in the season. And then the starting pitching, there's only three starting pitchers right now, but he signed Walker Buehler to over $20 million a year and had Giolito for, like, I think an additional $20 million a year. And Buehler just wasn't a major league starter. So while he got Crochet, he didn't do his job in any of those aspects during the offseason, and people aren't second guessing. These are first criticisms. And the last thing I'll say is,
Justin,
I think
quickly,
baseball,
Justin,
you need a complete roster. Yeah.
Just before, because we're up against it here, I find it interesting, and this isn't just you, that you and Ken and many others immediately reflexively say it's Breslow forcing things on Cora, but you're outraged when I say it's John Henry forcing things on Breslow, which I think is a far clearer delineation than that of Breslow to Cora.
Well, no, of what I will say shortly is, of course, I am outraged at John Henry. What I am saying, though, is he provided Breslow assets, and instead of at least addressing one or two of these issues and leaving one as a whole, he totally screwed that up and left the team porous in all three of the areas he needed to address.
But I would say that the loss of Devers was, that was a John Henry decision. John Henry met with him. He didn't in all acquiesce.
His guys mangled it, to your point. But then, yes, John Henry came in and said,
right,
we're trading.
So the issue began last winter, where Alex Cora is making everyone aware of the pursuit of Alex Bregman, which everybody with a brain knew he would be playing third base, which meant that Devers was going to be pissed. So that, we get to spring training. Devers is miserable, has that press conference that goes off the rails. And then the season's going on. He won't play where other guys are hurt. And so Cora was the one that mangled all of that. Henry flies to Kansas City to try and sit down and say, let's see what's going on. Devers says, and I'm guessing, F off. Then John Henry says, get him off this team and get all this money off the books. I don't want to be paying him 1 cent to play somewhere else. So Breslow does that and does that as effectively as you could, given the amount of teams that wanted to trade for that kind of a contract. And yet you sit here and tell me that Cora's hamstrung because of Breslow, but don't say that John Henry's hamstringing Breslow. I don't get it.
Well, are you blaming Henry or Cora?
I'm blaming Henry for Breslow. That I don't. He said, why do I not blame Craig Breslow? Because I think Craig Breslow was the 11th guy they hired. He's a guy that makes a fraction of what Alex Cora makes, and he's doing the bidding of John Henry.
By the way, you got to love that Walker Buehler's first two starts with Philly, both wins, two wins, five innings, one earned, 3 2/3, no earned. Somehow the Devers playing first base in San Francisco. It's just bizarre.
Crazy.
Guys leave here and do well. All right.
So why wouldn't that be on the manager that the guy leaves town and all of a sudden plays multiple positions?
I know. Buehler's a late game bloomer. They shouldn't have traded him.
But on Devers,
Arcand was pissed when they traded him. You remember Arcand, your guy, TC? He was upset.
If this is anywhere, or this Released is a different him. Time where the manager and the player don't get along and then the player leaves and plays for another manager, it's not the fault of the owner.
No. I just gave you some ammo. You can join the program, 617-779-7937, the Kenny Curtis Show, here until noon today. By the way, they did win last night. A week ago, we were sitting here after losses by the Patriots and the Red Sox on a Friday night. The Red Sox the week before, or Patriots the week before. Two wins, though, to go into. You feeling better about the Pats? We'll get them into the mix next in with the Red Sox talk. And you called Aaron Rodgers a nemesis to me in the hallway earlier this week. I want you to expand on that thought.
Will do.
Next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So Rodgers comes back in this weekend. Earlier this week, Curtis, you and I always talk about promo verbiage and imaging stuff for the station. And you said a good line this week might be old nemesis Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers return to Gillette. And I was like, really? Aaron Rodgers nemesis? You said yes. So I trust you, as I always do, and put that in the promo. So that's running now.
Good.
Expand on that. I'm a little... Do people around here really feel like Rodgers is a nemesis?
Would you consider Peyton Manning a nemesis?
Yes, yeah.
So
yeah.
That was a more direct rivalry, obviously. The Colts-Patriots with Peyton Manning was some of the best football I've ever seen. But nemesis to me means a guy that was in the way or attempting to be in the way of a dynastic or championship run. And for several years...
He was a rival. Plain and simple,
right.
He was a rival.
Would you say Lamar Jackson is a nemesis of Josh Allen?
Yes.
So it's on that same line. You know, you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers where he played Brady in the NFC Championship game. I don't know... No, he never played the
Patriots. It just feels like Peyton, if you compare him to Peyton, Peyton was the archenemy, right? He was the guy that you hated.
Right, of course.
But Rodgers was just sort of a...
He's just a douche, a giant a-hole. Like, I find him totally and completely hateable.
Yeah.
And the way that he talked about the Jets, I know you defended him because they had the unmitigated gall of forcing him to fly to New York to go get fired, but...
Oh, that was insulting.
You don't think he's insulted them? At some point, Aaron, maybe just say thank you for the $100 million. It's great to be here instead of burning the Tappan Zee Bridge. Like, I just feel he's someone... that for many years people said was the best quarterback in the NFL. And to me, of the last 30 years, I put him and A-Rod together, the biggest underachievers of all time, where you have one title each, but they were the best player for a decade or more in their sport, or top two, and they just failed. And Aaron Rodgers' playoff, like the game they lost
at home. Did he gag in the COVID year to Brady and... Well, that Packers run.
Well, that, if I'm a fan of the Packers, you're down 8, I believe. You have the ball 3rd and goal at the 5. You've come back. Brady's thrown 3 awful picks in the second half. And there is a walkway, a red carpet into the end zone where you can tie the game.
I can still see that play.
And he chucks it at the ground of the goal line in front of his tight end. You kick a field goal. And you lose the game and never touch the ball again at home. And that's just sort of his career. He was great during the regular season, but when you needed him most, he disappeared.
1-1 against Pittsburgh. Lit them up in the 2010 season.
Right.
Super Bowl in Dallas. I was there for that one. Now, he could definitely light them up tomorrow, right? We agree on that.
Absolutely.
Pat's secondary is ripe for the picking. Could be a good day for Aaron Rodgers, but I like that we have Drake May, who called him his idol once, the young gun. I mean, if this question I know was being asked in Pittsburgh, would you trade Tomlin and Rodgers straight up for Vrabel and May? Most of the respondents in Pittsburgh that I saw were like, obviously, you would do that. You would make that trade. So you're in a better position than they are.
Oh, of course.
Franchise-wise. You like where you are with the coach. You like where you are with the quarterback. It's just short-term, can you win this game tomorrow?
Yeah. I have no idea at all what to expect. I went into the...
Isn't that going to be every week with this team?
Yeah, I mean, I guess until you know what Drake is and if you know what the offensive line can do for him. But I thought Drake week two, no matter what Vrabel tells us, there definitely was a conversation about don't be tentative. If you want to run, run. Just don't do anything half-assed and get down if you see people coming. That's
good, it. Good coaching. If that was Cora, you would give him no credit for that.
Well, if they lost, you'd say good job.
Let's go to John in Northboro. Hello, John.
Morning, gents. Hey, listen, Curtis, there's no way the Red Sox are even sniffing the playoffs right now if Rafi Devers is at third base. Now, everybody, the examples are too numerous to mention of guys are a pain in the ass, they get traded, and they do for another team exactly what they were being asked to do for the team that they just left. Devers was going to be a problem, and he was throwing a fit, a little petulant little brat, get him out of town. But more importantly, the biggest problem that over the last 30, 45 days with the Red Sox, what are they hitting with runners in scoring position? It's atrocious.
No, bad. They don't have runners in scoring position. You
know, they've had a couple of examples of bases loaded, nobody out, and they don't get a run home.
Right. Exactly. So now, if you want to throw Cora under the bus there and say, you know, they're not being coached properly when they get up there, launch angle this and you know, bat speed, whatever. I mean, you know, he pulled Rafaela the other night, put in Sogard, go up there, make contact, we win the game.
Yep.
I think you got to give him a little credit there. But
John, do you know who has the second most one-run losses in the American League?
I'm going to guess the Red Sox.
So doesn't a manager play a role in a close game late?
How about their walk-off wins?
So well,
Ken, I was just going to say that. We lead the majors in walk-off wins.
Simpatico, so, John.
And John, if you wanted to say that, you know, Devers was going to be a petulant child, what I'm discussing is the buildup from the winter day at Fenway, Ken and I sitting out and hanging with Big Poppy, until the arrival of the pitchers and catchers in Fort Myers. Whether it would have worked or not, obviously, we don't know. But clearly, the approach that Cora took was not the right approach with his player that he was supposed to know better than anybody.
Can I give a little cap tip to Kyle Hudson, the third base coach, waving Eaton home yesterday, scoring on a single from first? Straight gas.
Do you know who the worst third base coach in the history of the Red Sox was?
No.
Dale Swaim.
Oh, really? You didn't like
Awful.
Dale?
The last person I ever booed in person.
Jeez, that's not true. You booed me this week.
Well, I mean, at a sporting event.
Oh, okay. You can join the show, 617. But here's a factoid from Bradford, by the way. Speaking of men on base, since August 26th, 17 of the Red Sox last 22 homers had been with nobody on base. Finally got the man on yesterday for a Duran dinger. That was big.
Huge.
Big league. All right, 617-779-7937 to join the program. Blame if the Red Sox collapse. Do you feel like they won't? Big win last night. Are they in? And swing game for your Patriots tomorrow against the Steelers. How are you feeling about it? We'll dive a little further into that coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.